Good to see.
you.
It's good to see your images since I don't see anybody and you don't see me either. It's good to be with you today. Let me open with a word of prayer. Well, Father, we just want to pause right now and thank you for the opportunity to take a few minutes out of our busy day to pause and to reflect on you and on the things that you might have to say to us. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word this afternoon, and I just pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, today I want to talk about the concept of listening to God. This is something that over the last several months I've really been challenged with and kind of feel like I'm growing in my understanding of it. And I've come across several different neat insights and resources. So I thought I would share some of that with you all today. You know, if we want to hear God's voice, we have to get rid of the static. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, "The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. I want to read a small excerpt from a devotion that unpacks that verse, I think, in a very neat way. It says, "When God appeared to Elijah after he fled from Jezebel during his suicidal depression, God told him to stand and wait for the presence of the Lord to pass by. God did not appear in ways that he had shown up in the past. God was not in the wind, the way he was with Job. He was not in the earthquake, as when he gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. He was not in the fire, like the burning bush with Moses. God revealed himself to Elijah in a gentle whisper, which can also be translated a sound of sheer silence. The common translations of this passage does not fully capture the original Hebrew. But what could the translators do? How do you hear silence? The silence after the chaos for Elijah and for us is full of the presence of God. God spoke to Elijah out of the silence. God invites you to stand and to wait like Elijah. Why? God also wants to speak to you out of the sound of sheer silence." A few weeks ago, when I was driving back to Greenville from a visit to the office there in Farmville, I was listening to a Christian radio station that originated from Rocky Mount. As I got closer to Greenville, the station began to break up, and the words were overtaken by static and by sounds from competing stations. I believe that there's a lesson in this experience. In this world, there are many enticements and distractions constantly competing for our attention. Some are pretenders that hinder our ability to discern God's voice. A voice that we just read can be still and small. The Bible reminds us that God's children recognize his voice. And in John 10, 27 and 28, it says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." That's a wonderful truth, but equally true is that we need to be listening. I have two children, Sean and Rachel, and my children know my voice, and they can discern it from all other voices. But the reason for that is it took repetition and practice through their infant, toddler, and early years for my voice to become ingrained in their memory banks. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus is teaching a crowd of followers, and he begins by saying, "Listen and understand." Jesus knew that listening is more important than hearing. Everyone within reach of Jesus' voice could hear him, but not everyone was listening. We often say, and I hear a lot of people say, I wish I could hear the voice of God. I think God showed me this week that if I want to hear him, I need to tune out all of the other distractions. I need to turn off the TV, my cell phone, and the computer, and get alone with him, spending time in his word and on my knees in prayer. Listening to God the first time yields much less heartache and letdown than listening to the world. Don't just talk to God, listen to him as well. Make an effort to choose one thing in your life that interferes with tuning into God's channel. Trim down the time that you spend on that and give that time to receiving God's message. If you don't have a regular time alone with God, I want to encourage you to make that a priority. And if that's something that you've really never done, I've got bukus of resources that I can help you get started with that. But if that's already a part of your life and you do have a regular time or an appointed time with God, I want to encourage you. This is something that I've been challenged with in the last couple of weeks. I want to encourage you to start your time and end your time with 2 minutes of complete silence. That can be scary because we just live in a world where being still and being quiet is just very, very difficult. But I want you to start and end your time, whatever you do, with 2 minutes of silence on the front end and the back end, listening for God's voice. In 1 Samuel 3:9, Eli told Samuel that the next time he thought he heard someone calling him to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God is always speaking, but we need to discipline ourselves to listen and position ourselves to hear what it is that he has to say. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us spiritual ears to hear your voice. Help us today to tune out the noises of the world and all the other voices that hinder our walk with you. Help us hear, understand, and obey your call on our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes all of this possible. I pray this in the name of the one who is always tuned into your frequency, Jesus Christ. Amen.